radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, Rasmus Ristolainen scored at 1:38 of overtime to give the Buffalo Sabres a 6-5 win against the Montreal Canadiens. Ristolainen drove the right side and scored on a slap shot. It was his fourth regular season overtime goal, a record for the Buffalo defenseman. Jeff Skinner and Vladimir Sobotka each had two goals, and Connor Sheary scored for the Sabres, the 8-6-2 Sabres, who blew 4-1 goal leads but managed to win the game. Bo Horvat had two goals. Sabres going to see Vancouver tomorrow. And two assists for the Vancouver Canucks in an 8-5 win against the Boston Bruins. It was the most goals the Canucks have scored in a game since November 14th, 2009. And that was an 8-2 win against the Colorado Avalanche. The Canucks are here to face the Sabres tomorrow, 1 p.m. Jeremy Colleton lost his NHL coaching debut at the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 to the Carolina Hurricanes at the United Center on Thursday. Colleton, a 33-year-old youngest coach in the NHL, was promoted from Rockford in the AHL when the Blackhawks relieved Joel Quenneville of his coaching duties on Tuesday, also known as fired. The Panthers beat the Oilers 4-1. Shane Gostisbehere scored an OT for the Flyers, who beat the Coyotes 5-4 in OT. Vegas won in Ottawa 5-3. The Lightning beat the Islanders 4-2. The Wild topped the Kings 3-1, earning their eighth win in the last 10 games. Joe Thornton, Jumbo Joe, Craig Rivet's buddy, played his 1,500th game as a Shark as they fell to the Stars 4-3. In the NFL, the Steelers crushed the Panthers 52-21. Ben Roethlisberger was 22 for 25 for 328 yards and 5 touchdowns. Sean McDermott said moments ago that the Bills are still working through QB decision. Josh Allen is progressing well, but will be limited again today at practice. And tune in to One Bills Live with Murph and Tasker at noon to hear from Lorenzo Alexander, Mark Kelso, and Greg Cosell. I'm Andrew Peters. That's your sports update for today. And back over to the instigators, Marty Craig. He's at MartyBiron43 on Twitter. He's at CraigRivet52. I'm at The Instigator. The show is at The Instigators.
You're at The Instigator 76.
Thank you, Marty. I don't even know my own Twitter handle. It's changed.
You've changed
so many,
it. Like,
it's changed.
What happened to that? Like, you were like besides Craig and forever, and now all of a sudden you changed three times in one day.
Yeah, it was an identity crisis, I think. No, boredom, man. Riv. No, I just get
Can
bored.
Can we call that a midlife crisis?
Am I midlife? Am I dying at 76? I'm 38. Are you telling me I'm dying at 76?
I'm saying it's a social media midlife crisis. Because
I think that's overthinking it. I hate social media, even though I'm on it and I use it and I tweet it. I do. I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. I hate that people can get in contact with me. I hate it. I hate all of it. All of it. Mark my words. But you know,
until the
comes with the territory.
The biggest bunch of hogwash I've ever seen in my life. You sit there on your phone all day long, tweet, text, this, that, and the other.
How many times we get like on our group text message like a tweet that will come in and it's from Andrew Peters like, oh, look at this tweet, look at that
building
tweet,
look info at this for tweet. The show, right?
Yeah,
is that not stuff that we can use on the show? And that's what we're doing. We're trying to just
Andrew's
the last
always working.
One you,
I'm just trying to send over more information so everybody's aware. Like, here's something you didn't know that
yeah,
I didn't.
Amazing. Like, it's not like we're getting the same texts or tweets that you are. So.
Well, in case you missed it, I guess is what it is. I'm working while you're minor hockey coaching, I guess is what it is.
He's helping you.
I'm just trying to help. I just don't, you know. So anyway, here's one I mentioned in the update here. Joe Thornton played his 1,500th game. Now, here's an interesting little factoid on that.
Yeah.
Joe Thornton is the first overall pick to play 1,500 games in the NHL. Okay. He's the only first overall pick to play 1,500 games in the NHL. Interesting fact came out yesterday. Did you know that?
I did not.
I guess we're not getting the
How
same tweets and texts,
are we? How many players
have
played 1,500 games in the National Hockey League?
I don't know. He's 19th on the list. That puts him at 19th, if I recall.
That is a tremendous amount of games.
And you think about this, though, too, when you think about Joe Thornton. And when someone says about Joe Thornton, what do you remember? There's a lot of things to remember, but I just remember his absolutely terrible rookie year. Terrible. They did a special on CBC, and they followed him around, and everyone was saying, thank God the Bruins drafted Samsonov at number 6 that year because Thornton's a bust. Played like, what, 55 games or 7 games? He had 7 points.
Is that when he had his head knocked off by Eric Lindros? Remember that fight? Just remember. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jumbo? Just come on.
I played with Jumbo at the World Championship with Team Canada. He was a 17-year-old. He was about to be drafted first overall that year. He was the only 17-year-old on the team. It's mostly a 19-year-old tournament, the World Juniors, some 18-year-olds, and then very, very few amazingly gifted 17-year-old. My job, when Mike Babcock was the coach, my job was to, as the backup goalie, was to do the face-offs. Who's winning face-offs and whatever. Joe Thornton was the extra forward, barely played. His job was to give the guys props after every 5 minutes. Like say, good job, guys. We won the last 5 minutes. Let's go win the next 5 minutes. That was Joe Thornton's job at the World Junior Championship. And then he went to the NHL the next year and now has played 1,500 games. I could name you guys on that World Junior team that you'd be like, who? What? And Joe Thornton was sitting on the bench cheering the guys like, you know, he was part of the team, but not really. Yeah.
Won a scoring title. He's had a great career.
He's
great
had a 90,
player. Amazing, amazing teammate. Amazing teammate.
What has he had? 290-plus assist season?
I think just one, where he had 125 points that year, and he led the league in scoring.
Yeah, he made amazing. John Tichu a quick 15 schmilly in half a season.
John Tichu was a borderline 20-goal scorer, and then Joe Thornton got there, and he ended up scoring 54. Led the league in goals. So
he had a 96 assist season and a 92 assist season. The 96 assist season was when he was traded from Boston to San Jose. So you combine 24 assists with the Bruins, 72 assists in 58 games with San Jose. He had 96 assists that year. Yeah. And then the year after that, he had 92 assists and 114 points.
I remember we went to Boston. I think we played the Bruins right after he was traded. I think we did, Marty, and you would have been on the team.
We played Joe Thornton's first game with San Jose here in Buffalo.
But didn't we play the first game after he was traded? And I just remember going into Boston and all the comments that he made. He was interviewed, and I remember one of the comments he made. It was legendary. He said, yeah, well, we're losing. It must be my fault. And he was leading the team in points. Like, he was killing it. He was having a great year. He's like, oh, yeah, you know how it goes. I mean, you know, if we're losing, it must be my fault. It was after he had been traded. It was unbelievable.
So I'm pretty sure, but I'm going to look it back. But I think that when he played in 2005-2006 is when he got traded from Boston to San Jose. And I think the very first game that he played with the San Jose Sharks was here in Buffalo. And I'm going to look it back right now.
Do you remember the trade?
That was December 2nd, 2005 here. So he was with Boston. He got traded the day before, and then he played his first game here with San Jose. He had two assists.
Maybe that's what it was.
It was a 5-0 win.
We went to Boston. I just remember watching all those the players that they got skate around in warm-up. They had Sturm and Primo and who else did they get in that deal? I can't even remember. It was a huge deal, and I don't know. Do you say it works out for Boston because eventually they win a cup? Like what? How many years later? 4 or 5 years later, they win a cup, and then Thornton's still chasing his cup.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sabres last night 6-5 win. They host the Canucks tomorrow, so I guess it's safe to say we'll transition out of yesterday's game. We'll just get to tomorrow's game. 1 o'clock puck drop. Military appreciation.
Yes.
Marty, you mentioned that. You wanted me to mention that. Tomorrow's game.
Yeah, because, last week was Kids' Day. It was a Sabretooth Day. It was a fun afternoon tilt with Ottawa. Everybody was buzzing. Tomorrow is another very big afternoon game against a Vancouver Canucks team that can score. And it's Military Appreciation Day, so it's it's always special when you get servicemen and servicewomen from all around the world, and you can show your appreciation. It's Veterans Day on Monday. So this is a very patriotic and important weekend, and they're going to celebrate that at the game tomorrow.
Well, then I hope, if that's the case, that the Sabres, and they won, but I hope they don't come out with the same game they had last night against Vancouver tomorrow afternoon, because it might be a tough night for them, tough afternoon.
12-11. With the way the Vancouver Canucks have been going, scoring
how would
goals?
We feel about that? How would we feel about that? Another shootout. I mean, Riv's shaking your head. I mean, everybody wants more defense. So what you're saying is everyone wants more scoring, but they want stronger defense. I'm really kind of here. Like, I'm juggling with the
I'll tell you this.
The confusion amongst everybody, you know?
Like, I want scoring. I love scoring.
Defense was terrible, but lots of goals, but the game sucked.
I love scoring, and I love great plays. I just hate the feeling, like in last night's game against the Montreal Canadiens, whenever the puck is around the Sabres net, is like, oh my God, that's going to go in. Like, not the confidence that your goalie is going to make a save.
Didn't you feel that with 30 seconds left in the game when Montreal came back into the zone and Hutton had to make that save from way out?
Yeah, but again, like, it wasn't so much on the goalie. And I'm putting the emphasis on Ullmark here, but it was on everybody. Like, if your D had the puck behind the net and he's about to go on the breakout, you're thinking, like, please, just make a tape-to-tape pass. Like, don't mishandle the puck. Don't turn it over. Like, it was ugly hockey that made you shivers to your core every time the play was in the defensive zone. In the offensive zone, it was great. And if you're the Montreal Canadiens and their fans last night, you're thinking, oh, my goodness, like, Ouellette and Mete were terrible, and Ben and Petrie struggled, and you're looking at their D-core. They did, and Price, you're like, you're shaking every time the puck was around Carey Price.
Yeah.
So that was not a good feeling type of game. It was more of a, I'm going to hide under the cover and, like, just peek over the top and just
and you're going to hope that your team comes out on top. It's like, basically what it happened. But you know what?
It was literally like playing in the street. Next goal wins.
As a fan, it was a lot of fun to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. And we have the Vancouver Canucks coming in here. And this is a young, confident, very talented team right now. Last five games. 5 goals against Minnesota, they beat them 5-2. 4 goals against Chicago, they beat them 4-2. The next game, they beat Colorado in overtime 7-6.
That was Pedersen's
the next game,
5-point.
They lost to Vancouver 3-2. And then last night, 8 goals against the Boston Bruins, which is absolutely unheard of against Boston. Because they're usually a team that is very conscious.
Boston's been smoked a couple times this year. They got smoked against Washington. They got smoked last night. I mean,
every team has had their moments this year.
Been a lot of blowouts.
Sabres got lost 6-1 to Colorado, and then they turn it around and won in Arizona, and they blow out Ottawa. To Montreal, like, every team has had their moments where they've scored a ton of goals.
You know, we talk about goals and we talk about good defense in last night's game. I mean, we got to see some, you know, very high skill plays. I mean, Max Domi's play on those goals and the stuff that, you know, Jack making that play. I mean, I don't know where I'm at, because as a fan, as somebody watching the game and wants to have a lot to talk about on our show, I'm sitting here going, this game was phenomenal for us. Right?
Yeah.
Because there's good and there's bad. But I guess in the grand scheme of things, I love last night. I don't want a 2-1 game last night. I don't want a tight game and goals where you're just like jamming pucks at the corner of the net, just trying to squeak one past the goalie's toe. I loved last night's game.
How many breakdowns were there on both sides? You know, Rodriguez in the first period had 3 2-on-1s.
Okay, but again, I want to point out, and I pointed out on a broadcast last night, the wall play of Sam Reinhart on the first 2 2-on-1s. The third one was a shorthanded 2-on-1s, Rodriguez Aboka, but the first two, like, Sam is so smart on the wall, and he reads the pressure coming in from the defenseman, and he makes that play. And Evan Rodriguez, you're a coach, you coach youth hockey, and you tell your center, always stay below the puck. Don't fly the zone, stay below the puck, read the play. And Erod is in perfect position, and the Canadians, again, that drove me crazy last night for both teams. Like, the complete disregard for having a third man eye or having somebody back you up in the middle of the zone and the pinch on the wall. We've seen it from both teams last night, but the Sabres, Reinhart, Rodriguez, Saboka, were able to get those 2-on-1s because of the nice little play of Sam on the wall. That's a major breakdown from the Montreal Canadiens, but the Sabres had the same thing. Guys were pinching Beaulieu on the one goal. Pinch on the wall, no backup in the middle.
Who's going to be the defensive guy in Montreal? Who's their defensive forward in Montreal?
Philippe Deneau.
Okay, so last night, Skinner,
he was compared to Guy Carboneau last week.
Philippe Deneau, you just named one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of breakdowns in Montreal because they're a really talented, fast, skilled hockey team, but they don't have a lot of defense.
Defensive
play.
Kotkaniemi, he's 18.
Skinner 18. Scored two goals last night in the Sabres 6-5 overtime win. Risto with the OT winner, slap shot down the right side. So Skinner now has 11 goals, and Craig asked the question at the last break. It's a great question. It brings us to our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment, and buy-sell trade. You can go to the poll and vote yourself to get involved. We like to get the fans involved, and that's at WGR550. Skinner will sign for a higher AAV, annual average value, than Mitch Marner. Buy-sell trade. Marty, we'll start with you because I think I want to hear where Craig has to go with this.
I am going to, and I just saw that WGR put it on the on Twitter as a poll. So
it's always Twitter poll.
It's always a Twitter poll. I don't, but I'm just saying they just put it on there. And trade is basically saying will be the same. So it's this or that and the other thing. I will trade this. I will trade this. I think they will be the same.
This is mind-boggling that we are even sitting here right now thinking that they're going to be the same.
You know, the reason why they're going to be the same is I think because you can have a little bit more leverage on Mitch Marner and trying to get him on a lower number over a long term because he doesn't have arbitration right and he's in his second contract. So saying to Marner, hey, we'll give you $7.5 million for 7 years. Listen, you're going to be you're going to be 28 and you'll be able to sign another contract at 14 or 15 or
negative.
16 million a year.
All right, so what are you saying, Greg? We're doing our buy sell trade presented by
They'll
Buffalo Sports. Marty trades this. Skinner
I think
will sign.
Mitch Marner is in a different class, even at his young age, than Jeff Skinner. Jeff Skinner is a very, very good player. There's no question. He has put up a lot of goals in his career. He's shown that he can score goals. But Mitch Marner is moving himself into elite status in the National Hockey League. I'm not talking a high-end first-line player. I'm talking elite status in the National Hockey League. Mitch Marner right now is, again, leading the Toronto Maple Leafs in points. He is a stud, and he is only 21 years old right now. He's coming off his entry-level deal. They are going to have to buck up for Mitch Marner and Auston Matthews. And that's why it's taking so very long to do this William Nylander stuff, because they know that Mitch Marner is going to be making $9 million plus.
But the without Maple question. Leafs have about 30, we'll have about $35 million to sign 10 players next year, including Marner, Matthews, and Nylander.
And Gardner.
And Gardner.
Who's an unrestricted free agent.
So they're going to have to tell somebody, hey, you're going to need to take a little less. And we'll give you the 7-8 year deal. But you'll have to take $7.5 million
well,
and
that's
syndicate tonight.
Not going to happen with Mitch Marner because he is an elite player. It's like telling Jack Eichel, hey, Jack, you know, in order to play for Buffalo, you got to take $8 million
a year.
But
it's different, Jack in Buffalo. If it was Jack in Boston and they had cap issues, Jack may say, okay, I'll sign for a little less. Because I want to be in my hometown, whatever. Marner will want to remain a Leafs forever. He's been there. They drafted him. They gave him, you know, the keys to the castle, and now he's driving the, you know, the big car.
What?
So do you think Tavares took less to be a Leaf?
Yes, I do.
So
yes,
Marner will take less to be a Leaf as well.
But boo-hoo on Johnny T that he only signed for $11 million a year. It's,
you know
it's
why
like,
Mitch
it's
Marner will want to
take
a hometown
to take
discount?
A pay
he's
cut
from
for
Markham.
11.
He's from Markham. You know, basically, you know, that's Leafville. He's a stud in Toronto. He can play
absolutely.
With.
But he also
like he could win
he has
a,
made
he
a tremendous
a
amount of
cup.
Money in his career. He's made a tremendous amount of money in his career.
Who? Are we talking?
John Tavares. And now all of a sudden, on top of that, he just signed for another $77 million.
Same thing will happen to Marner. They'll say, take less now, and you'll still have a big contract later.
What is going on here with this thing?
They're playing music.
Why do they have ads on this
Mitch Marner's going to take a pay cut, and he's going to take $9
million. No.
Skinner will not sign for more than Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner is going to get more money than Jeff Skinner.
You're selling this?
I'm going to sell this. Yeah, we got to get out of here because you know why? We're going to ask Darren Dreger the same question because he's coming up. And also, what's bugging Dregs? If you didn't see his tweet yesterday.
Petey's Peeves.
We'll start. Yeah, you know what? You want to start that? You got one? You have one ready to rock and roll?
You were on Twitter and you found that one.
On? Which one?
The Darren Dreger PDSP?
I did find it on Twitter. I
follow
him on Twitter.
Always on Twitter.
Yeah, you want to say that. Okay, WGR 550 MSG, the Instigators. Beat it, Marty.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
And as we do every Friday at 11:30, we welcome in TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. Dregs, what's going on, sir?
Yeah, we've got a snowstorm in Ontario, so it doesn't look like it's going to last, but I might be storm-stayed for the day. So you guys might be the only communication I have now to the outside world.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Do you need milk? Do you need bread? Do you need anything? We'll bring it to you.
Yeah? No, I'm okay. I'm well-stocked. Got a couple of movies I'll watch. Everything will be fine.
Marty has a hookup at Uber Eats.
Yeah, I do.
like what I did there, Marty?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's just get right to it, Dregs. We were talking about Jeff Skinner's performance as of late. He has 11 goals. UFA at the end of the year. When do the Sabres start talking to Skinner's representation, or have they?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if they haven't already engaged, to be fair. And that's just common practice. I mean, you have your preliminary discussions, and then they get a little bit more aggressive when both sides are comfortable in doing that. But, you know, it's in Jeff Skinner's interest to just focus on what he's doing, because he's been terrific for the Buffalo Sabres, as you guys can plainly see. And, you know, he's a classic example for me of sometimes players just needing a fresh start. Now, it's not like he was toiling in Carolina or falling into an abyss there. But, you know, every time his name would come up in a trade rumor, there was always that lingering history, right? Well, what about his issues with concussions? Is his health going to be sustainable? All of those things. Well, I mean, you could say that about any player. You know, God willing, Jeff Skinner remains healthy. But what we can see is why he was drafted where he was. And, you know, he's going to get paid. I think that... you know, the Buffalo Sabres most definitely are going to have an appetite to extend him, but I don't think that they're at a point yet where, you know, they've worked out all the numbers.
Do you believe that he kind of fits in the same realm as the Evander Kane? They were very, very similar in point totals, games played. You know, do you think that they're the same type of player, and do you think they're looking at the same type of payday?
Yeah, I mean, they might be looking at a similar payday. I don't think that they're the same type of player, but I mean, what you have is the pretty obvious chemistry that exists, particularly on that line with Eichel and Pominville. I mean, that 5-5 goal last night, it was a tap-in for Jeff Skinner, but how many times over the course of the year do you see a goal scored that quickly off the draw in the fashion that it was? So things are going well for them, excuse me, but I mean, Jeff Skinner, as long as he continues to play the way he's playing, he's going to earn a big paycheck. Is it in the vicinity of Evander Kane? Is it slightly higher than that? I think it's a little too soon to say. But if you get to the midway point of the season for the Buffalo Sabres and his production hasn't dropped a little bit, maybe the number is a little bit higher than that.
You know what it's not too soon for, though, Dregs? To name that line. So give it a shot. You want to name that line for us?
You know what? I scoured some of the suggestions in the Instigators' mentions. The J Crew is a little too soft for me. I don't know. That just sounds. It sounds
sorry,
a little.
We're losing
Brady
you, little Dregs. We're losing you.
Why is that? Is that? Did you pick that one up?
Well, let me show you. That
was the two fancy pants over here. That's the ones
you.
They like the best.
J Crew right there, circled. It's actually boxed in bold. I like the J Crew.
You
know
said
what?
Soft.
Well,
they picked J Crew.
I mean, it's. See, I just think that you guys are so creative. I feel like you need to work a little bit harder. How about a weekend homework assignment?
I don't come see, that's back. The thing. That's why I set it out there. I don't want to do this. That's why I let
obviously,
other people do it.
Because
I don't
you
want
settled
to do
on
this.
Something pretty basic.
Okay, what do you like, Dregs? What do you like?
Well, again, I just went through the mentions. I'm okay with the ESP line. Even the Pez line or Pez dispensers, although who's going to say that?
Yeah.
You know, Oh, the Pez dispensers came up with another big goal tonight and a huge boost for the nobody's saying that.
It's a great marketing thing, though. You could sell three Pez dispensers, Pominville, Skinner, and Eichel.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. ESP line, obviously there's a connection there, makes some sense, but I don't waste too much time worrying about these things. That's up to you guys.
Okay, Dregs, a couple of controversial goal or calls have happened with the Ottawa Senators, and there was one last night where Craig Anderson was bumped in by Will Carrier at the top of the crease. They counted it as a goal. Did the NHL get it right, and is Ottawa still fuming at the goal that made it 5-3 last night in the nation's capital?
Well, yeah, Ottawa is still upset by it, most of Ottawa. I think Pierre Dorion, as general manager, just accepts the job that hockey operations has to do. And, you know, sometimes you win these, sometimes you lose them. I thought it was clearly goalie interference initially when I first saw the play and then I saw the replay. But you know what? The guys in that hockey operations room have a pretty keen eye. And there's, you know, multiple people involved in that decision-making process, including the on-ice officials who get a second, a third, and a fourth look when they're studying the tablet. It was very quickly identified to me. They said, keep an eye on Craig Anderson's right leg. And it's not William Carrier who bumps into Craig Anderson. Craig Anderson kind of sweeps out that right leg and literally trips William Carrier. And there were some inside hockey operations who thought that Craig Anderson should have gotten a tripping penalty. So forget goalie interference. Throw that out the window. In fact, call a 2-minute penalty for tripping.
Yes, clearly, sir. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's too many of these goaltenders right now are doing the old baby seal in there, and they're outside their paint, and they know that they're in a bad position, so they start kicking their legs out, and, oh, I got tripped by. No, you're the one who's outside your paint. Stay in your paint. Everything's fine.
Yeah. And look, the one thing that we've learned over time here, you know, especially when you get an extra period of time to look at it, to review it, the league doesn't want to take goals down. They don't. But that's not to say that they're going to make an egregious bad call just for sake of that goal. After it was identified to me, look at the right leg. There was a trip on the play. When I saw it, because I have no skin in the game, I saw it. I saw the trip. And therefore, I agree with the call, and it was a good goal.
I think that also the one thing that the league is really breaking down on is rebounds and loose puck. When two players, a player and a goalie, are both going towards a rebound or a loose puck, that incidental contact may happen. Last night in Montreal, we saw on the second goal by Sapolka, Nathan Beaulieu is trying to get to the rebound, and he hits Carey Price's pads a little bit. And the puck goes right where that toe would have been. And Claude Julien was fuming. He's like, he pushed his pad. So I think the league is doing more of a crackdown on those situations where there's a rebound or a loose puck where you have to have a little bit of contact accepted.
Well, and you know what, Marty? Here's what I like about all of this controversy is that it's only days away from the NHL general manager's meeting as part of Hall of Fame weekend, right? And so every general manager requires a refresher at least twice, maybe three times a season. There is no doubt in my mind that Colin Campbell, Mike Murphy, all the hockey operations people will have a number of different examples, video examples that they can show to the general managers, and they can say, guys, this isn't new. We've been preaching this and we've been calling this the same way for a long, long time. But look, at coaches coach to take advantage of situations. So there could be a reminder that comes out of that GM meeting in Toronto that says, if you're pushing the pad or you're pushing the limits or you're impeding the goaltender even a little bit, we're going to start disallowing the goals. Just be mindful of the fact that it will be called the way it's always been called with the video review.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter. And Joe Thornton, 1,500th game last night. Incredible, right?
Unreal. And I think I saw a tweet from Jeremy Roenick just congratulating Joe Thornton and reminding me that they, in fact, played together. And, I mean, JR is older than I am, and that's really old. So that tells you how long that Joe Thornton has been in the National Hockey League. But, you know, this guy, I mean, he's a beast. You guys know that. I mean, you all played against him. And, you know, I've watched him, you know, been an impactful player pretty much his entire career. But before he injured his knee, I remember watching a game. And he's not nearly as swift as he once was. Obviously, there's a lot of miles on that chassis. But the stuff that he can do and still controlling the puck with his body, He still has excellent stick work. He can make great passes. You know, you can still shoot it. There are so many things about Joe Thornton's game. As long as he's more of a specialist on the power play, et cetera, he's going to continue to contribute for a long time.
Hall of Famer. Riv, you know, Riv played with him. Yeah. I mean, you didn't mention that, but I want to throw that in there.
I didn't see Riv congratulate him on Twitter. Maybe I missed it.
Yeah. First ballot, right, Drags, when you talk about Joe Thornton, the first ballot, the Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Yeah, he is for me. Yeah, he is for me.
First ballot teammate, too. One of the greatest. I mean, one of the greatest. If you can find one guy, one single man that has ever played with Joe Thornton that did not like him, I mean, you're an alien. I mean,
it's, but old school, right?
Riff? Old school. But you know what? He's old school, but I've never seen a more caring man towards his teammates. I mean, this man. I don't care if you were the guy that was Jonathan Chichu scoring 54 goals on his right wing or the guy that was the healthy scratch every night. He treated everybody the exact same way, and that's why everybody loves Joe.
Hey, Dregs, quickly, though, to follow up on that, the word is in San Jose, once Joe's done, that team is in trouble. Their leadership is all Joe Thornton, and that, you know, he's the big guy in the locker room. Props to Joe Thornton, but what do you think of San Jose's position once he's walk away from the game?
Well, look, it's really, really hard to replace a presence like Joe Thornton, both physically and spiritually. He's a leader for that team in so many different ways. He's great in the community. He's been an unbelievable ambassador, not only for the San Jose Sharks, but for the National Hockey League in general. And when I think of leadership, and you know, obviously it begins with Joe Pavelski, isn't the captain of the San Jose Sharks unless guys like Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton show him how to be a leader in the National Hockey League, how to be a leader on the ice, in the dressing room, how to do things the right way without taking shortcuts. So I've got enough respect for the amount of experience that they have in that room and around that organization that, of course, you're going to miss Joe Thornton. But I'm more concerned with the transition phase of the San Jose Sharks. But you know what? How many times over the years have we said, the window is basically closed on that team. They're not going to find a way to get it done. And then they find a way to not only be competitive, but to be a contender. But at some point, I suppose, in the future, near future, perhaps, you know, that window is going to close more.
Do you think Joe Thornton, and I want to get off this topic too, but do you think Joe Thornton has the right amount of, I guess, credit from fans and league-wide because he's been in San Jose? Or do you think if he played in a market like Montreal or Toronto, he would have just been a much bigger animal?
Yeah, I probably that, to be honest, Petey. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, how the Montreal Canadiens celebrate their great players, both current and past. You know, the Toronto Maple Leafs are now doing a better job of doing that, quite frankly. I mean, you know, historically in Toronto, you had to be a superstar before you got the right amount of recognition. But, you know, Joe Thornton, because of everything that he's brought to the game, including the personality, the beard, I mean, everything about him, I think he's a highly recognizable National Hockey League figure. So it's not like he's going to be forgotten when he leaves the game. But could he have left more of an imprint from a marketing perspective or in the eyes of the fans? Maybe if he was playing in a Canadian city.
Big Hall of Fame weekend. Willie O'Ree going in. Gary Bettman, Jaina Heifert, Alexander Yakushev, Martin St. Louis, Marty Brodeur.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great class. I mean, there haven't been too many bad ones in the last number of years. So I'll be doing a slow golf clap as each and all are inducted. I noticed you didn't mention Commissioner Gary Bettman.
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yeah,
sorry.
I said Gary Bettman.
Oh, all right. Well, my bad. I'll be doing a slow clap for Bettman as well. I'm confusing segments because I was asked about it earlier today as to whether or not I would clap for Gary Bettman. Well, I don't cheer for anyone per se, but I am certainly appreciative of the honor of being inducted into Hockey's Hall of Fame. And, you know, I read a piece just before I came on the air, you know, Bill Daly, the deputy commissioner, talking about Gary Bettman being the most influential and powerful leader hockey has ever had. I believe that to be the case. I don't like the timing of it. When you're sitting in office, in the commissioner's office, I think that's a bit of a conflict. But if Gary Bettman had retired 6 months ago, I mean, I'd be fully on board with it. I think he's deserving of Hall of Fame status.
Dregs, quickly, because we got to get to break. Petey's wearing a Sabres sweatshirt, but underneath the sweatshirt, he's wearing a Marty Brodeur New Jersey Devils t-shirt that was signed to Petey, your fantastic teammates.
At a bar.
While they were drinking, and it was put in the wash. It was put in the wash, and now it's faded away. What is the fine or the suspension for washing that t-shirt?
It's got to be significant, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You know,
it was divorce.
I mean,
that was significant. It was significant. That was
the start of the end.
That was it. I am a single man because this shirt was washed, Dregs. I love you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
All right, guys.
I'm going to divorce from this conversation right now. All right. We'll talk to you later, Dregs. Instigators, Andrew Craig. Okay, WGR 550, MSG. All right, we're done.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
I guess we've offended some people north of the border, eh?
You keep offending people north of the border. You offended Joe Bowen a few years back with your golfing.
He held on to that one for 12 years.
And, yeah, apparently our friends north in Toronto, TSN 1050, is not happy about our Twitter poll.
Well, who's on that show right now? Who is it?
Andy Petrillo hosts the show, and usually it's Gord Miller, Dave Poulin. Who else is on that show? Craig Button's on the show a lot. Dregs and Bob McKenzie are on the show sometimes. So
what's the word? They're ripping on our poll?
Well, they're just, they're mine. Marner will make a lot more than Skinner, obviously.
Well,
so,
of course they're going to say that.
So they're offended. They're offended by the Twitter poll. Which is great. You know what is great, even better, is the fact that that rivalry, Toronto-Buffalo, the fact that the Sabres are getting better, is going to heat up in the next few years. I love it.
I have a line right now. We need to make a calendar. I have a line right now. I'm not going to say
it.
Okay.
Don't say it. Hold on to it.
Count to 10 before you say it.
You've had your line of the day. You're good.
I'm biting my tongue from
here on out. Take your golf club and get us out of here.
Okay. We'll be back on Tuesday. Vancouver Canucks here, 1 o'clock tomorrow, 12:30 pregame show on MSG with Marty and Duffer, Andrew Craig. Marty, we'll be back on Tuesday. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.